So, what do I do? I know you've got a camera. Do I have to worry about the camera, or I just...
Laura, does he look at the camera when he's talking to you, or look at you?
Oh, just look at me. And
okay,
whoever.
Great. Okay. And then they're both audio. So you guys could take turns.
Sure.
Whoever wants to start.
Sure, go ahead.
So what was your inspiration for this movie?
I wanted to make a story about family dealing with something that, unfortunately, tons of families are dealing with right now. My family's had to deal with. I wanted to write a love story about a mother who won't give up on her kid, and I wanted to write a story about a kid who wants so badly to turn around his life. And so I kind of started from that point and ended up with Ben Is Back.
I was kind of wondering, you mentioned that you had done, you know, you had a little bit of experience in some ways. Your family has experienced some stuff.
So, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was wondering if there was experience or if it was a lot of research that you've done, because from experience, I can tell that there's a lot of very hyper-realistic dialogue in here, and the emotion, you know, the combinations of optimism and bitterness and everything coming through.
Well, I come from a family that's been riddled with alcoholism. My mother left home when I was 7. I didn't know her as a sober person until I was 15.
Wow.
And then for 22 years, she devoted her life to helping other people get well. So, and my father was an Episcopal priest, 58-year ministry, he worked with people. So I grew up in a family deeply impacted by it, and I also many, many friends in recovery. But more immediately, and I think this answers your question too, is that my favorite actor ever overdosed a few years ago. A very good friend overdosed, they both died, and a family member nearly died. And in that near death, my family rallied, put this family member into a situation, recovery situation that worked.
That's amazing.
And, but I saw the differences and I saw the epidemic that's presently occurring in a very personal way.
Sure.
I also just wanted, in response to the election, I took stock of the choices I've been making creatively and wanted to see what would happen if I gifted myself a period of time to try to write something very urgent that almost as if this might be the last, if I got a chance to make one more movie, what could it be about?
Absolutely.
And what if I put as much energy into my own original idea as I've been putting into the things I've done for studios and with honor and proud of that work?
Absolutely.
But my kids are old enough and you know, and so I just decided post-election that I needed to write the most honest and authentic script I could write. And then hopefully maybe I could get it made. And here we are.
Liz?
Yeah, thank you. If you could cite a challenge that you would want to share with us about this experience, about this the production. In my book, challenges can also be positive. They're not a negative thing. Mm.
Sure. I will speak as a father. I, as you know, here comes the emotion. My son Lucas is in the film, and he had been in a film of mine when he was 8. He had one line, and it was a very hard day for him. He had to keep doing the scene, it was a miserable experience for him, and so. He was never going to be in a film of mine. Mm-hmm. I knew that. And I wrote this script knowing he was never going to be in it. I think I secretly wanted to torture him with the idea that I'd written a script that was so good. It's like, you don't want to be in it. That's okay. But look what I did. And, you know, both my kids made me want to write a better script than I'm capable of writing. I just wanted to do the best work I could do. Because I want your kids to be proud of you. So I think the challenge was, once he decided to do the film, was that I don't think I had thought through what a risk it was to our relationship. See, because what if it was a bad experience? What if I failed him? And he's worked with the best directors. He's working on the best projects. And what if this was a terrible experience? And there were a few moments filming where I thought, I'm really going to fail him. And I don't think I did, but it was my fear. And I felt the weight of his faith in me was immense. This is unexpected. I'm so sorry. There we are.
It's okay. The reality.
Yeah. Thanks for that question.
Absolutely. So primarily in your career, you've done family-oriented films. And in this film, what keeps drawing you back? And how is this own family-oriented drama affected by the fact that your own son is playing the lead? Mm.
Well, I do like writing about families. I think I've accepted that's my favorite thing to do. I think family is the most important thing to me. I cared about my career, and then I had children, and I cared about my children, and my career was a way to provide for them. And this film was really the first time I think I used the term, I gifted myself this period of time to write this script. I tuned out everything and said, I'm gonna let myself write something that comes from me. I don't know if I've answered your question though. This is different though. The second half of this movie is unlike anything I've ever written. I've also never written a movie that is less concerned about you feeling comfortable and okay.
I tend to make films that make people feel ultimately good and better, and films that people rewatch over and over. Gilbert Grape, people watch over and over again. My other films, I'm told by people, they say, I watch it every Thanksgiving, or I watch it a bunch of times. I don't think I've made any film that's as important, nearly as important as Ben Is Back. It may be a film you only see once, but although I've had people tell me they're going to watch it over and over, which are great, but that wasn't my goal. My goal was to make something that would be impactful and help be useful in the world, because I just feel like all of us need to find ways in ourselves and whatever we do right now to figure out what our gifts are and bring them to the table, because we are in a critical moment in our history. Without getting too dramatic.
Yeah, no, we don't have to get political at all, but I mean, you do have some instances of direct social commentary in there. I mean, I think the most striking one is a mother can't get Narcan from a pharmacy, but 20 minutes later, her addict son can come through and get a ready supply of syringes and tourniquets.
Yeah, well, one of the things is I studied more and more and did copious amounts of research on the epidemic and why we're having this epidemic, was that there are lots of villains and there are lots of entities that are complicit. The prison system, the big pharma, doctors, us as family members.
Sure.
So I definitely tried to find organic ways in which, over the course of this day and these people, that those things could be addressed and looked at without polemics, without big speeches.
Sure.
But the fact is that this doesn't happen in a vacuum. And I knew going in that there's no way I could cover the whole the whole thing. It's just too big. But I felt like within the context of this day, I did wonder what could organically, what could I get to? I tried some other things that I ended up cutting because they felt too, they felt preachy. They felt a little on the
A little staged.
A little staged. But, you know, and Lucas would even say, or Julie would say, it feels like that's the writer talking. That's the writer talking. Mm-hmm. So I tried to listen to my collaborators and peel away those things that just felt a little forced. That, but I did want to make an impactful film that spoke to the time that we're in. And a lot of people don't know that 80% of heroin addicts got their entree through prescription pills.
Yeah, 100% legal.
Yep. And, you know, if the doctor says you can take it, you take it. I took one of the things, I haven't told this story very often, I've told it once. I had a surgery for a hernia, and they gave me one Oxycontin. Mm-hmm. And I took it, and it was amazing. I had never taken any drugs in my life. Mm-hmm. Never drink. I don't drink, no drugs.
Yeah.
I took this, wave of peace came over me.
Yeah.
I felt so calm. I crawled out of my bed. I crawled across my bathroom floor with the pills in my hand, mm-hmm. and I dumped them in the toilet. Now, you shouldn't dump pills in the toilet. I didn't know that.
Water
that's
supply.
What I did. Water supply. Yeah. Sorry about that. And I flushed them mm-hmm. because I knew if I took another pill,
that's it.
I'm done. I that's how amazing. So, but I had, but that was with all the consciousness I have, all the knowledge, the family I come from,
sure.
my mother in the recovery field, and I felt it, and I, that's what I did. I crawled across the floor. So, anyway, that was a pretty good answer.
Yeah.
You guys are getting stuff no one got. You're getting the best interview.
That's great.
But they're going to shut me off in 4 minutes.
Okay. Ah! Just very quickly, yes. Can you talk about the rest of the casting?
Sure.
Julia.
Sure.
And some of the other...
Oh, I'd love to. Members. Julia, I wrote this, not with Julia in mind, I didn't have anyone in mind. I just wanted a great actress. And when I finished it, I had just seen the movie Wonder, and mm-hmm. I thought she was so good in Wonder, but I also thought, why is Julia Roberts, why is she not, she should have leads in every movie. I mean, she's my favorite movie star, has been forever, and I knew enough about her that she's a fierce and loyal and loving mother. And I thought, well, that is Holly Burns. And something about Julia Roberts going where Holly goes, just I felt would elevate this movie to a whole other level. And I think it has. Catherine Newton had done two movies with Lucas. I didn't know this. I'd seen her in Lady Bird, but didn't recognize her. I was about to cast another actress, and her tape, casting director called and said, yeah, this girl was in town and we taped her and they sent me over the tape. And then I arranged to do a work session with her over Skype because she was out of town. That's when I came to realize that she and Lucas, she'd been in three, I hadn't seen Three Billboards. But she brought things to Ivy that I'd seen great young actresses, so many, give beautiful auditions. But I really felt that she loved Ben in a way that was really important to me. I just didn't want her to be the bratty, annoyed sister. I wanted her to be so, and she just shattered me in those later moments in the film and in her audition. And Courtney B. Vance, I was just looking for a remarkable man. I wanted him to be solid and loving and a great actor. And we came up with this idea and I presented it to Julia and she said she loved him and would love for him to do the film, and we sent it to him. And he signed on. He didn't even ask for any... I mean, it was just, you know, it was just dreamy to get him to do the film. I rewrote the part slightly because Ben used to have a riff about how ugly Neil is. That wouldn't wash because Courtney B. Vance is so handsome. And it also seemed like that was an opportunity to organically explore what he might be feeling differently than than if her husband had been white.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's aware that if it were his other kids,
they wouldn't have made it this far.
Or him as a young person, it would have been a different situation. And that felt like an organic way to handle it. I used to have a big speech that the homeless woman gave about the crack epidemic in the 70s. It just came too late in the movie, and you went, this feels like a preaching thing. It doesn't feel organic to where Holly would be at that moment. So what I mainly tried to do was tell the most truthful and believable story that could happen for this one family over a day, in the hopes that if you see this, you would either recognize your family in them, or go, the number of people who said, my mother would do this, or I'm the kind of mother who would do that, or someone who loves someone who is struggling, or is someone who is struggling with the disease, who can see that that was treated with compassion, and that maybe their understanding of this epidemic, that it's a disease and not a choice, maybe that will be expanded, and there'll be more compassion, and we will redouble our efforts to help each other and not throw each other away the way it seems so easy to do. Cancel people seems so easy to do right now. What if we didn't? And what if we found a way to help each other? That's what I have tried to do in Ben Is Back. And thank you for my favorite day.
Thank you.
Don't televise that.
We'll cut it. Edit that.
But this was great. I'm sorry we have to stop.
Thank you. No.